and how, although Lot grew up in Abraham's home. Did somebody say something? Okay, I'm sorry. Just remember, I'm hard of hearing, so if you want to get my attention. And I'm also tunnel vision, so. So even though Lot was raised in Abraham's home, Lot didn't follow in the steps of Abraham, and he didn't prepare his home to serve God. And as a result of that, his family was destroyed. And then Wednesday night, we talked about lessons from Proverbs concerning raising children and how children are to be toward their parents. And last Sunday, we talked about the home and the law of Moses. And our lesson text was Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, which says that a father is to teach his children, and he's to teach them when he gets up in the morning, throughout the activities of the day, when they sit down to eat, when they go to bed at night. In other words, God, again, has to be the center of the home. And we have to teach our children. And we can't wait until they're 12 or 13, 14 years old to start teaching them those things, can we? And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the lesson this morning. But we discussed 5 points last Sunday. And the first point was that parents have to be faithful themselves. If we're going to teach our children to be faithful, we have to be faithful. If the parents are weak spiritually, what's going to happen to the children? They're going to be weak spiritually, right? And we talked about the fact that one of the greatest purposes that parents have is to raise godly children, to teach them the love for God, to instill a love for God in their hearts. And the third thing we talked about is we have to keep them pointed in the right direction. And we talked in Psalm chapter 127 about arrows being shot out into the world, okay? We have to keep them in the right direction, and we have to control, the fourth point was we have to control the influences that affect their minds and fill their minds. There are good influences that we have to instill in them, and we have to keep them from the bad influences. And the last thing was, we need God's help. We can't do it by ourselves. Prayer, God's word, and also the help of older Christians who have raised their children, because they have a little more wisdom than we do. So that brings us to this morning's lesson. And this continues the thoughts from last Sunday, because in the text last Sunday, the father is to be the one who teaches the children. Well, the father has to take the leadership role in the home. It's a God-given responsibility. And our text today is taken from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. But that entire context, which is one of our thought questions later on, starts in verse 22 and goes through 33. And let's read that. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. In other words, in the same way, men are to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and be joined unto his wife, and they shall two be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So what are some of the things that are talked there? We're to leave and cleave. He quotes Adam in the beginning. Wives are to submit to their husbands. She's to love him. She's to honor him. She is to respect him. And husbands are to love their wives as themselves. So if we love our wives as ourselves, are we going to mistreat them? Absolutely not. He's to provide for her. He's to take care of her. He's to hold fast to her. He's to respect her. His love is to be a sacrificial love. So one of the definitions of being a leader is taking ownership of responsibility. That's a problem today, isn't it? Because a lack of leadership has destroyed the home in our nation. And we know that as we look around. And I'm going to read one of the part of what Kent had in his book. Satan has worked very hard to destroy the family. Consider that married couple families make up only 38% of households. Now think about that. Only two-thirds of children live with two parents. 40% of children are born outside of marriage. Only half of adults are married. Approximately 80% of single-parent homes are led by single mothers, resulting in nearly 25% of our youth growing up without a father in the home. Data from the United States Census Bureau shows that almost 18.5 million children grow up without their fathers, which in turn has led the United States to hold the title of the world's leader in fatherless. What's the problem there?
No guidance, no leadership.
No guidance, no leadership? Yes, absolutely. What is the home? It's a foundation.
Raising kids.
Right? It's the foundation on which society's built, right? And so it's pretty important. It's been said that society is only as strong as the homes that make it up. So when you have the breakdown of the home, what do you have?
Breakdown of society.
You have dysfunctional families. And so chaos. I mean, you have children, and the children don't get the nurturing they need. They don't get the love that they need. They don't get the care that they need. And they don't see their parents as, well, they see their parents as examples, but they see them as what? Many times. The wrong example, right? And so they don't get the instruction, they don't get the discipline that they need, and they don't get, most importantly, the spiritual direction that they need. And so a lot of times, children are left pretty much to raise themselves. There's no dad at home. Mother has to work all the time. Sometimes they suffer mental and physical abuse, and so sometimes there's a lack of love in the home, and they feel unwanted, and so they're just kind of raising themselves. So when we don't mold our children's lives, what's going to happen? Something else is going to mold their lives, okay? And it's not going to be good. And that's why we're seeing all the problem that we have today, because a child's mind has to be molded. It has to be shaped. And we only have a short time to do that. Evidence would say by the time that child is 5 years old, that his personality and his mindset has already been established. So you can't say, well, you know, we're going to have to start going to church. We're going to have to start doing this. You know, our child's 6 years, 7, 8 years. It's too late. You have to start when they're young. I'm going to read something from Donnie Rader. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he says he learns to be shy. I would add to that, he may learn to be bitter and negative. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. And we also can add to that low self-esteem. But if a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If he lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If he lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If he lives with fairness, he learns justice. If he lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if he lives with acceptance and love, he learns to find love in the world. And I thought those were good points. But a child can't be left to raise themselves. And when you do, you have that dysfunctional society. Many of us know people who are like that. I have a brother's family that's like that. Unfortunately, there was a breakdown in the home. The oldest child raised the other children while the mother worked, and it didn't turn out good. And many of y'all know those kind of same things. So the home is the foundation of society, but it's also the foundation of the church. And the home is even more important to the church than it is to society. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So let's take that apart for a minute. We are to train. That means we're to mold, we're to shape. The child is what we're training from the time he's born until the time he leaves home, and even instruction after that time. I don't know if you ever get done raising your children. What do you think, Jerry? And what are we to do? We're to train him in the way. In other words, we are to train him, we're to give him spiritual instruction in serving God, in loving God. And the result is impact on the rest of their lives. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. So what do we want our children to do? We want them to what? We want them to serve God. We want them to grow up to be faithful. We want them to have great, solid marriages. We want them to raise their children well and to be an example for others to follow. That's what we want from our children, right? That doesn't happen by itself. So what's a father to do? Well, his priority has to be the responsibility to guide, to feed, to protect, to nurture, and teach his family and help them to be what they ought to be. And again, one of Kent's points. Family leadership is guiding the family in the Word of God. As the husband is the head of the family, it is his responsibility to guide, feed, protect, and nurture the family to be people of God. Someone said a leader is a trumpet that does not give an uncertain sound. The greatest danger facing the family today is the absence of godly men leading their families to the throne of God. God has given us the task of leadership to the man, not the woman. And God expects men to take the leadership of the home and guide the family. And Kent gives Noah and Abraham and Manoah, who was the son of Samson, as examples that the fathers to lead the way. And we reference Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, where the children are to honor and obey their parents, that it may be well with them and that they may live long on the earth. Not that God's going to lengthen their days, maybe so, I don't know, but if they live a good, clean Christian life and they're not involved in drug abuse and they're not involved in alcohol, what's going to happen? They're going to be healthier. They're going to live longer, maybe. But the father is the one to lead the way, but the mother also, what about her? Is she dormant in all this?
No.
She's the helper, right? And you could go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, and or 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 3 and verse 15. Who was the influence on Timothy?
His mother and his grandmother.
Now, his father wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Christian. So his mother and his grandmother. So there has to be a place for the mother. There has to be a place for the grandfather and the grandmother to be an influence to help to raise these children. Again, Kent's lesson, leadership is intentional influence. And what that means is there is a plan to lead in a certain manner with specific goals in mind. When something is intentional, there is a plan. There has to be a plan. We just can't fly by the seat of our pants. There has to be a plan in mind. The art of influencing another person is leading the mind to accomplish the intended goal. God wants the home to be a haven of happiness and peace and joy and the Word of God. And if the home is not at peace, leadership has failed. When the children grow up not knowing the Lord, leadership is to blame. If there are problems in the marriage, the one in the leadership role must recognize and guide the family back to God. The family must see the character of God in the life of the husband and father in order for them to follow his footsteps. So the father has the responsibility of instilling in his children a love for God and appreciation for what he does for us. That awe, that respect, that reverence for God, a desire to please God, a desire to obey God, and a dedication to serve him. Because without that desire, without that love, without that dedication, what's going to happen? We failed, right? Because they're not going to remain faithful. And, as Ephesians 6 says, they will respect their parents and honor and obey them that things might be well with them. And when they do that, they can be an example themselves, right? Go ahead, James.
In my experience, it's usually the women that instill
Yeah, good point. Good point. And there are reasons for that sometimes. And sometimes it's because the husband doesn't take the leadership role. But and it takes all of us, doesn't it? But that man is to take the lead. Did somebody else have their hand? Daryl. Right.
So, following what James said, it's perfectly normal maybe for the mother to spend a little bit more time reading the Bible with the child if the father's working, the mother's not. There's different circumstances of why that may happen, but we as men need to still understand God's going to hold us accountable. And we cannot just totally rely. We're not going to be able to get before God and say, well, my wife was supposed to do that.
Yeah. Good point. Anything else? Good point. So there has to be a love for God in them. They have to learn to love others, to desire, to be kind, to be gentle, to treat others the way that they should be treated. Again, God has to be at the center of the home, and it takes hard work to do that, to lead one's family on the part of the man, on the part of the woman. And it takes God's help, like we said last week, like we pointed out this morning, because it's an obligation that God has given us to our families and to each other. And that's the most important thing that we can do in this life. Let's go to the questions. I want to spend the last 15 minutes on those. And we're going to skip down to "as for me and my house" questions. And the first one is, how is the role of leadership in the home defined in Ephesians 5:23? And to what does Paul compare the role of the husband to be? Now remember, this is comparing the husband and the love for his wife to Christ in the church. So how is the role of leadership in the home defined in Ephesians 5:23, and to what does Paul compare the role of the husband to?
The husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church.
Christ is the head of the church. And the role of the husband is like the role of Christ, correct? He is to be the head of the family. As Christ is the head of the church, the husband is to be the head of the family. And the wife is to be in submission to her husband. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. I'll just start in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patient. The aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Notice verse 4, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, and on and on and on and on. So we have there that older men are to teach the younger women how they are to act and how they are to behave, how they are to treat their husbands, and they're to be sober, they're to be grave, they're to be keepers at home. So we all have a role to play, right? Anything else on that question? Okay, how is the husband the savior of the home? And explain the answer. Okay, he should be able to die for his members. He has the responsibility.
So he has protecting their physical needs, their spiritual needs,
okay,
and their salvation.
Okay, all right. Not only their physical needs, but their spiritual needs and their salvation depends on him. He's the one who's been given that God-given responsibility, right? And he is should be willing to deny himself for the good of the family. And he is the savior. Anything else? Anybody else? Daryl.
If the husband is the head of the home, then if the home is successful, it's a result of the husband doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Good. Good point.
What he's supposed to do, then the home is going to fail. And in that sense, he's the savior of the family.
Yes. Yes. Right. 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 Yeah, he is the savior by all the things that we've been talking about, right? And he's the one who's to nourish. He is the one who's to cherish. He is the one to lead. And if he doesn't, then if it fails, then it's his responsibility, as Daryl said. So how is the church subject to Christ?
Christ has all authority.
He has all authority. He's the head. He has the authority. He gave himself for it. I have a question. When one submits themselves to Christ, when you submit yourself to Christ, do you feel oppressed? Is that oppressive? No. No, it's not oppressive. We know Christ died for us because he loves us. He wants us to be saved. And through God's grace and mercy, because we're certainly imperfect people, then we have his blessings. Well, is it not so that a father and a husband is to God in the same way? Should a wife feel oppressive? Should kids feel like they are oppressed in the home? Sometimes they may, you know, well, mom and daddy won't let me do so-and-so, you know? But that's not because they're being oppressive. That's because they're looking out for the good of the child and wanting them not to have the evil influence, see? So, anything on three?
What about all the ladies that don't have husbands? I mean, 40% of people in America are divorced.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it?
It is the problem.
That's the problem. But in that case, the woman has to fulfill the responsibility of the husband because she don't have a husband to help her with that responsibility. Sometimes you have the help of grandparents to help guide in that way, right? So she has to do what she can because she still wants her children to what?
Grow up to be successful.
And go to heaven. Right, right. And if we don't raise them to go to heaven, we haven't been successful, right? Right.
And any time we have to step outside of that, we have to realize we have to work extra hard because this is not the way God designed it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good point. Anything else? Okay. How does this help the woman understand her role in the home? Ephesians 5 and verse 24. As the church submits to Christ, what should the woman have to do? Submit to Christ, right? In all things, it says, not just some things, in all things. And again, her position is a position of glory. It's not a position of servitude. It's not a position of oppression. It's her glory to serve and assist in raising the home. Galatians 3:28. There is no Galatians 3:28. What did I have there? Never mind. What am I? Well, never mind. If I wasn't in 2 Corinthians, there'd be a Galatians 3:28, wouldn't there? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for we are what? We are all one in Christ Jesus. God has made us all one in Christ Jesus. She's not one to, she's in submission to her husband. But when we first started this, when we talked about Adam and Eve, what was Eve created for? To be a what? A help. Meet, not a servant, a helpmeet to him, right? So what happens when there are two heads in the family? And it references Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24.
Well, that's can't serve two masters.
Can't serve two masters.
You'll hate one and despise the other.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go. Can't be two heads, because if there's two heads, what happens? There's chaos, there's disorder. It says you either hate one and love the other, or you devoted to one and you despise the other. Okay? Now I know the context of that leads in another direction. But that doesn't mean that a wife and a woman and a mother doesn't have a voice, does it? No, absolutely. But they, you know, a man and a woman, God has given them different roles in the family. God has given them different roles in the church. All right. Anything on that? Anything else?
President Truman says the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
I heard that. I wasn't around at that time. But. And that's exactly right. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Absolutely. So let's look at the application questions. What are some ways the man can show godly leadership in the home?
Setting the example.
Setting the example. Leading.
Putting priorities in place.
Putting priorities in place. All the things we've been discussing, right? And we look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're not going to do that for time's sake, but we look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, and it outlines those things about what's important, right? So all of those things, being an example, leading, teaching, because if I teach my children and I'm not that example, and they see that, don't they? And what example are they going to follow, the teaching or what I'm doing? They're going to follow what I'm doing, right? So give some practical suggestions. Anybody want to try that? We've been talking about those things. Love your wife. Love your children. Let what you do be for their good. Provide for them the physical things, but most importantly, provide for them the spiritual things. Again, the theme is God is the center of the house. And teach our family and teach our children well. Those are things I thought of. Daryl? Exactly. God made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's just a tree. There's things that, big things that you see, like a Grand Canyon or this or that, whatever, and just continually point out the importance of God in everything.
Don't forget the rainbow.
Yeah.
And the, Sherwin?
As a husband, he has to speak up. I mean, keeping silent don't solve the problem. If you see a problem, even though the husband has the responsibility to speak up, no matter what it is, you know. Always put God in the forefront.
Right. Right. That's the important thing. That's the most important thing.
And your wife has the right to speak up when you're going off the rails.
And very much we need that, don't we?
Absolutely.
We need the help of the wife. And what Daryl said, that's exactly what Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9 says. You have to remind them daily in everything that you do. Okay, does the leadership of the man diminish the wisdom or the advice of the wife? No, we talked about the fact they're equal in Christ, right? They have different roles, but she's not the silent partner. Proverbs chapter 31 comes to mind with me because that gives an outline of all the things that the woman is doing. And she's the helper in the home. And also, marriage is for life. Not to get rid of when she's older. Right? And we could go back to Malachi, which is a warning of the way not to treat the wife of your youth. All right? If one abandons the wife of his youth, then he's abandoning God. He's abandoning his role. He's abandoning his family. So there has to be that love there that ties everything together. So why must a husband, father, be a man of faith in the role of leadership, and what part does Romans 10:17 have in the leadership of the home? What is Romans 10:17? So what part does that play in the role of leadership in the home?
That's the instruction manual.
Okay.
That's the instruction manual.
Right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has given him the role. Fulfilling that role that God has given him is part of his faith. And if he disregards that role, what does that say about his faith? Not there, right? And he's failed. How does Psalm 127 define leadership in the home? If you remember, that was our first lesson, Psalm chapter 127. How does that define the leadership in the home? What was the theme of that lesson? If the Lord doesn't build the house, they labor in vain that build it. He has to be the center of the home, so the leader watches over the home. He works to provide for his family, but earthly pursuits are not the main focus, right? The main focus is his children are a heritage to the Lord. He's to raise them so that when they go out into the world, they're salt and light. And then they influence others and raise their children to influence others, and it's a continuing effect. So why are some examples of godly leadership in the home found in the Bible, and who are some of the examples of godly leadership in the Bible, and give reasons why you believe they make good leaders? Kent gave you some of them.
Noah.
Abraham. Manoah is listed in our lesson. I think about Job. Job prayed for his children, for God to forgive them of anything that they had done wrong. Job was concerned about his family. What about Joshua? Joshua said, you can serve whoever you want to, but for me and my house, we're going to what?
Serve the Lord.
We're going to serve the Lord. Caleb, I think, is a good example. When Joshua and Caleb, when they went in to spy out the land, they came back. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that said, we can take it because God's with us. Caleb was faithful in that, and he stood for what's right. We could go to Numbers chapter 13, Joshua chapter 14 and verse 15, because Joshua 14, 15 says he wholly followed the Lord. Not partially, he wholly followed the Lord. And there are many other examples that we could give. We could give examples of today, right? So what happens to the home without leadership? We've talked about that. It's dysfunctional, and it leads the family toward a direction. And it usually results in children what?
Getting influenced by the world.
And being unfaithful. And who's responsible for that failure?
The leader.
The leader, the man, the husband. What promise did Joshua make about his home in Joshua 24, verse 14, 15? We just talked about that. It's for he and his house, they were going to serve the Lord. How can we keep that promise in our homes today? Work at it.
Continue to be an example.
Continue to be that example. To make sure that God is first in our home and in our lives by using good judgment, by discerning what's right, by doing what God wants instead of what I want. Anything else? Thank you for your attention this morning and your participation.